never settle, unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips and experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Are you ready?
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne, Pendergast, and Casario. That's what that music means right there as we welcome you back in here. 7:30 on a Wednesday. Good to be with you. Appreciate you joining us. Joining us right now, live from NRG Stadium. A few days away from headed to Indianapolis for the Combine. We are joined by Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager Nick Casario. Nick, it's always great to talk to you. The music playing right now reminds me, are you going to go to Triple H's Hall of Fame induction ceremony, even though it's 3 days before the draft? I mean, it's the hay's in the barn at that point, right, Nick?
Morning, fellas. Thanks for having us. And just so you know, every time I hear that music, I still smile and laugh. I think it's just incredible. And actually, if Triple H extends the invitation, then I'll potentially consider it. Ooh. So at that point, we're just shuffling paper around anyway. So
that's what I thought.
It would probably be worthwhile. Where is it being held? Is it
Vegas?
Being held in
Vegas. Yeah.
Vegas.
I mean, nothing says Vegas like Nick Casario, who's never sat at a blackjack
table. If I can't go, Seth can stand in for me and be a part of the festivities.
I like going to WWE stuff just because I'm completely clueless to everything, except I'm full bore into it.
What you need to do is go watch old YouTube clips and highlights, and you'll get up to speed very quickly. Yeah.
I've got enough rabbit holes I'm trying to cover, man. I can't.
It's actually worthwhile. I still snicker and laugh every time I go back. I'm unabashedly admitting it. I'm not hiding anything.
Yeah.
So, but I actually saw a clip. It was from 10 years ago. They had like Triple H and Shawn Michaels were out there with Edge and Randy Orton. And it was still comedic 15 years later. So I'm sure if you look for it, Sean, you'll find it.
It's probably in my bookmarks right now, Nick. What are we talking about here? Come on now. Hey, man, it's great to talk to you. So getting ready for Indy next week. I'm curious, Nick, getting ready for Indy next week. We know you've talked many times about the parts of the combine that you buy into, and the drills, it seems like not so much. I'm curious about at the combine, like the interview thing, is there a certain, are you more in those interviews with the players, more like trying to find out how they fit in culturally with the team? Is it more X's and O's, or is it more of like a player dependent thing when you go to the combine?
All of the above, and it's really a case-by-case basis. I think the way you articulate it, Sean, is very real, and that's kind of how we approach it, because we've put a lot of work and we've had a lot of discussions up to this point on a lot of these players. Really, the combine, a lot of times, is the first initial exposure to underclassmen who've declared. So there were 78, 79, whatever the number was this year. So, which a few of them may show up at the Senior Bowl, but otherwise your first opportunity to interact and have some kind of dialogue and interview is in this environment. So whether it's the formal interview, which every team is allotted 45, or the informal interviews, and really what it is, it's the first opportunity for a coach to have a touch point with that player to get a sense or a feel for their personality. And then from a scouting staff perspective, we're probably further ahead. We are further ahead than coaches, but by the same token, there's still certain things that we may be trying to ascertain throughout the process and get information on. It's very targeted. It's very specific. We're not in, you have 15 minutes. You try to be as efficient as possible with your time. And it might be something very targeted or specific that you want to try to inquire about and then really build on that for the next touch point or the next opportunity, because there's probably a good chance if you talk to them at Indy, you may or may not want to have them in the building. So you're just going through the process, and what you're trying to do is build a profile on each player so that by the end of, call it April, right before the draft, we have a good idea of what we think we're getting in the player. The performance is the performance, their skill and those types of things. Like, that's part of our job, is to develop and train those players. But you're really trying to understand them on a personal level so that when they come in the building, we understand they're going to fit in our program or they're not. Or if there's something that we're concerned about, we think we're going to be able to get it fixed because of the resources and the people that we have in the building. So it's always case by case, but we'll try to be as judicious and efficient with our time as possible.
Do you guys ever, you know, I always think about everybody's trying to put their best foot forward there, but then sometimes meetings don't go so great or guys don't put their best foot forward. Have you had instances where, like, you guys have, like, had a meeting with a guy where you're like, oh, this guy, what the hell? What's going on? What's wrong with this dude? And then later on you realize, okay, he was maybe he was tired, maybe he took something the wrong way?
It'll happen. It's been times where you might go through the questioning. You're not really getting a lot from the player. Our approach is, I mean, every team approaches a little bit differently. We try to make it as conversational as possible and just get the player to be comfortable. Like, we're having a conversation. This isn't the Spanish Inquisition where we're trying to find out about what happened, you know, 15 years ago. We're trying to get a feel for the person, have a back and forth. Everybody, you know, tries to ask a question, but nobody wants to step over themselves. We try to stay away from the X's and O's. Well, it's flipped to the tape and you get through two plays and then it's on to the next thing. I think the one thing that we try to do is if we know there's a question on a player who, quite frankly, we know is not going to be a factor for us for a myriad of reasons, we don't want to put the guy in a chair, bring the guy in a room, so then when he walks out, I'll look at each other and say, yeah, pretty much, that confirms everything we thought. So hopefully we know enough ahead of time. I'd say our approach is very targeted, so we're trying to be very focused on X number of players. But there are times, sometimes, look, it's a new environment for the players, so they walk into a room, they're looking at whether it's 8 to 10 people. Sometimes teams have 15, 20 people in there. It can be intimidating, so you want to just try to put the player at ease and just try to have a conversation. And if you get through your line of questioning and it's before the 15-minute time period expires, then you get up, shake his hand, and move on. So there's been some times where you're just not really getting a lot from the player and it's just kind of, all right, anybody have anything else? And you kind of move on. So every player is different. Every situation is different. We try to make it as conversational as possible, get the player comfortable so that we can actually have a little bit of a back and forth, not make it so tense where the player feels like they just can't be who they are. Because the one thing we've talked about, and, you know, we've talked about it on this show, when a player walks into our building, when they play for the Houston Texans, D'Amico and I want them to be who they are. We don't want them to change and all of a sudden you have to be someone that you're not. You're going to be who you are. We're going to embrace you. We're going to coach you. We're going to give you some guidance and some direction. And ultimately, you got to go out there and be who you are and be true to yourself.
You know, okay, Nick, this is almost just for personal reasons I'm asking this. I always felt with some of my fellow defensive linemen, I felt like probably the biggest disconnect between how a guy was on a football team and how he would be in a formal interview setting might be at defensive line. Cause I always see they're I'd be playing with guys that, like, look, a lot of the really good defensive linemen, they kind of got a screw loose. And I'm like, man, I feel like coaches are judging this guy harshly for stuff that has nothing to do with football. Is defensive line the position where, like, you have the biggest disconnect?
At least you're not biased or anything.
No, I'm totally biased. Yeah. I'm not thinking. I generally, other than I told you the one story about my horrible Green Bay Packers interview, but other than that, I feel like I did pretty well in that environment. But a lot of the other guys are just like, they're kind of crazy. And I feel like they might be judged too harshly at the combine in some of these interviews.
Honestly, that probably does happen in some cases. Again, we try to take any biases out of it. let the player be who they are, express themselves. When they walk in the building, we want them to be true to themselves and who they are. And look, players that play in the NFL, you probably have a little bit of a screw loose. That's okay. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. You just want to make sure that you're a good teammate. You prioritize others above yourself, and you can go out there and execute the job and the task that you're asked to do. Like, in the end, that's the most important thing. We don't want just a bunch of choir boys walking through this building. Like, you need an edge. Anybody that watches us play on defense sees that we play fast, we play physical, we play with an edge, to the consternation of some people, apparently, you know, throughout the course of the league. But you play, when you play defense, you play with your hair on fire and you play with an edge, and you want the other team to feel you. So who are the players that have those qualities? You could be a maniac on the football field, and then off the field, you can be one of the best guys ever and you want to go hang out with and have a beer or bring to church or whatever it is. And we have a number of players like that. And I would say there's no more embodiment of that than our head coach. The best human being, the best person ever. Everybody loves him. He's got a tremendous way about him. When he's on the football field, I mean, you played with him. I mean, he played physical. He plays with an edge. He coaches with energy. He has passion. Like, that's what football is about. So who are the players that have those qualities? And really, it transcends both sides of the ball. You want guys like that offensively. You need guys like that in a kicking game. So you want to build a football team with players that have a certain mindset, that play a certain way, that are good people, that are going to represent the Houston Texans, the community, in the right way, that we can all be proud of. So our job is to identify who are those players. And if he has a little bit something that maybe makes him different or puts him on the edge, all right, can you deal with it and are you comfortable? Because, again, when you draft the player or sign the player, you're taking everything that comes along with them, and you're either going to be comfortable with it or you're not.
Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and GM, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. All right, that's actually a good segue, Nick, into you talking about the head coach here, D'Amico Ryans, into the newest coach here, Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator. I guess a couple things specifically for this type of hire, an OC, especially an OC that you've got a pretty extensive history with. What's your involvement when it comes to the hiring of Nick Caley? And then give us a little bit, give us your impressions, because nobody spent more time with him than you have in the building over there.
Yeah, I think anything in the football operation, playing, coaching, scouting, football operations, how we structure the program, I think the unique thing about the relationship that D'Amico and I have, we're sounding boards for each other, and we respect each other's position about different topics, and we're going to talk through things. So, you know, there was some level of involvement. You know, in the end, like, D'Amico made the decision that he felt was best for the Houston Texans and our football team. And I've talked about this on this show. My fiduciary responsibility is to the organization and to support D'Amico in any way possible and to be there as a resource. And we're a resource for one another. And that's how we kind of go about our business on, you know, just about everything. As it pertains to Nick, Nick has an interesting, I would say, perspective and background. He coached a number of years in college, started his career on the defensive side of the football. His playing career was cut short when he was in college, and he kind of transitioned to coaching. And he's really was trained on the defensive side of the ball in the secondary, you know, Iowa State, Florida Atlantic, a number of different programs where he worked. And then when he came to New England, we put him on the offensive side of the football as an offensive assistant. And sometimes it just provides a different viewpoint, a different perspective. And as you move forward, when you're coaching on offense, when you have an understanding of what's going on the other side of the ball, it can kind of help you relative to how you game planned, how a coverage is nuanced, or how a team is playing a certain way. So Nick started on a ground level, hadn't coached on offense before, was quality control, the same job that I had in 2002 or whatever it was, and then gradually worked his way from quality control, offensive assistant, into a position coach where he coached the tight ends, where actually it's kind of funny, but going back to Seth's earlier question, coached a lot of personalities in the tight end room in our time there, from Seth's neighbor Marty Bennett Sean's neighbor Marty Bennett to Gronk to Dwayne Allen, a number of different players. And Nick was able to kind of connect and resonate and get the player to perform and go out there on Sundays and be able to execute, do his job. But Nick's very diligent. He's very hardworking. He's very smart. He's got a lot of energy. I'm sure you know a lot of people probably saw that when he and D'Amico had the press conference last week. He's into football. He's a great husband. He's got four girls. His wife just recently had a baby girl. And he enjoys football. And he, I would say, is curious and wants to continue to learn. His experience, and you can ask him, I'm sure, but his experience with Coach McVay was different than some of the things that we were doing offensively in New England. So, you know, Nick has been a coach that has been highly thought of in this league. He's had multiple opportunities and at different points. You know, in the end, like we felt, D'Amico felt that that was the best choice for the Houston Texans. So we're glad Nick's here. He's up and running. He's immersing himself into our team, trying to put the playbook together and just some of the basic information. And it's kind of a foundation and a starting point so that when our players show up here in April, we're ready to go. But you know, Nick's a great person. He's a really good coach, and you know, hopefully, he can help our team and you know, win football games, which is really all we're trying to do here.
Yeah, and that's that part is interesting to a lot of people. I think the difference between coaching in New England and seeing the way that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and everybody else there does it versus the way that Sean McVay does it. Obviously, there's multiple different ways to do things really well in the NFL, and all those guys have. Is there anything that really sticks out in your mind is, okay, there's a way Sean McVay does things that are a lot different than the way Belichick operates as a head coach or McDaniels operates differently as an offensive coordinator than McVay does as an offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I would just say, Seth, relative to Sean, I've never been in Sean's building or been around him on a day-to-day basis. You can talk about a big picture schematically. I think when you look at like actually what Sean from when he was hired in 18-17, whenever he was hired, their offense kind of evolved. So the way they started to where they are, I would say how they're playing offensively here is different. As an example, I think in 23, I want to go back to last year, they made an adjustment where they actually ended up using Kyren Williams a little bit more from the dot alignment as opposed to kind of gun offset. And it kind of helped their running game. It's something I think that Sean had talked about. So just being able to make small tweaks and adjustments to like, well, here's the core of what we do. Well, you know what? Let's try a little bit something different because that actually helps the players. And I think our job, and you know, having, I can speak to this to some in some respects, having coached, but your job as a coach is to always put the players in the best position to maximize their abilities. And it's, there's no one size fits all. There's no one particular thing. I would say offensive football and even defensive football, I mean, we could talk about this, but you started to see some trends on the defensive side of the ball relative to coverage contours, kind of multiple variations of split safety Tampa coverage and how people deploy players in the secondary, which I would say it's probably 2 to 3 years in the making. And it seems like every team you play has this certain coverage pattern or structure because A, it's kind of helps them create a different look for the quarterback, or B, maybe it's because of here's the players that we have. We have a little bit of flexibility so we can use our players a little bit differently. It's no different on the offensive side of the football. You have some core things that you're going to install. You're going to go through the spring. You're going to go through training camp, and then a season's going to start, and then you're going to kind of get a sense and a feel for your team. All right, you know what? Hey, this is really working well. Maybe we're going to do a little bit of this. This player does this a little bit better. So I think just your ability to see those things and handle those things and realize, honestly, this league is kind of a week-to-week endeavor. That's the approach that you have to take. So again, not having been around Coach McVay in the building relative to his energy and some of those other things, really looking more from a schematic standpoint, I would say the New England system is different than the LA system. But I would just say in the end, all this is a hybrid of a lot of different things. Like in the end, you got to be able to run the football. You got to be able to pass protect from the inside out. You got to be able to handle exotics on third down, and then you have to find ways to score in the red area. So you can slice it any way you want to slice it, but that's what offensive football is about. So, you know, we'll see how it all comes together here. You know, we have the staff in place, so have some carryover from the existing staff, have some new coaches that Nick has some background with, their familiarity with. So this is what the spring is for, is to kind of, all right, let's look at what happened last year just from a who do we have, who's under contract. There's going to be a team building element that goes into it. So all of this is very fluid, and there's going to be a lot of dialogue back and forth. And hopefully when we get to September, like, we'll have a pretty good team that we can put out there and be competitive with whomever we face.
Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, we know Stephon Diggs' contract voided a couple days ago, he's going to be a free agent now, so I'm not totally sure what exactly you can tell us, but what can you tell us about maybe conversations prior to the contract voiding and the possibility of him maybe still coming back here, re-signing in free agency?
Yeah, no, absolutely open to that concept. I think kind of the way we've handled it, we have 25-ish or so players whose contracts are set to expire here. And the new league year starts in middle of March. As it pertains to Steph, I would say that was more of a semantical thing more than anything else. I don't think anybody is surprised by that little nuance. Essentially, it was a kind of a one-year contract, and he was going to be a free agent. So we're going to have dialogue with all of our players who will be free agents. You know, we'll have discourse back and forth, and there's going to be players who we end up re-signing. There's going to be players that end up going to other teams. There's going to be players that are going to want to see what their market is, what's the value of their market. That's just what free agency is about. Free agency is driven by supply and demand. So there's going to be a lot of discussion back and forth. Everything is pretty fluid. So had a good relationship with Steph and his representation. And, you know, we enjoyed having Steph in the building. So the door is always open. You know, I think, you know, a number of players have expressed sentiments and interest in potentially returning to our team next season. So we never rule anything out. So we're going to be open-minded and kind of work through the process here. Things will probably pick up over the next few weeks. And then obviously when you have the, call it legal tampering period, which will be preceded by the illegal tampering period, which will take place at the combine, we'll probably have a pretty good idea of kind of where everybody is going to situate and kind of what the market looks like.
Did you say the illegal tampering period?
I'm only half joking, yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah,
that was good.
There's the paper trail tampering, and there's the no paper trail tampering period. Yes.
When somebody tells you, oh, yeah, like that deal was done at the combine, it's like, oh, wow, that's interesting. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is a question a lot of our listeners have had, and that I'm also very curious about is, you know, Jaden Daniels has been using that VR system back since LSU that seemed to have helped him out a lot and continues to help him a lot. And we know that Jaden and CJ are very good friends. Are you guys looking into anything like that, or are you using it already?
Great question. There's a lot of technology that's out there and it's available. We'll kind of look at some different things similar to players and questioning. A lot of this is case by case. And then really what you have to look at is the use case in the application, and if there's really an appetite from a player perspective and there's really a purpose and intent behind it. I would say specific to VR, some players are more comfortable with it. Some players are less comfortable, just like training methods. Some players are more comfortable with certain things relative to others. Ultimately, the player has to figure out and find what works best. As far as players' conversations, what they discuss, those certainly aren't anything that we're privy to, but I'm sure players talk about a lot of different things. But ultimately, you have to figure out what works for you individually. And as a team, if there's something that we can incorporate or add to our list of things and resources that we have already available, then we'll certainly look into it. There's always a cost associated with it as well. So you want to be, you know, smart and conscious about it. You just don't want to do something just to do it just because somebody else does it. So, but I would say that space, that area is certainly growing, and there's technology. It's continually evolving. But if there's something out there that's useful that we feel can help our players, then we'll always look into it and investigate it. It's kind of funny. I kind of have an anecdote on that. I forget what year that the first VR sort of model came out. It was a kid or a student or a guy founded a company. He was from Stanford, and we brought him out there in the spring in May. Brady put it on his head, and he basically took it off his head and almost broke it, threw it in the ground. So he's like, he had, you know, use for it. So again, everybody responds a little bit differently. Sounds like Jaden's got a lot of a value and use out of it that works for him. It might not work for somebody else. So all of this is kind of case by case and just figuring out individually what helps you the most.
Brady sounds uncoachable, in my opinion. That's
well,
oh, you don't want something that's going to make you better, Tom Brady?
He was 14, 15 years into his career. He was actually at the point where a guy was basically, he was on his second Hall of Fame career. So yeah.
He was a walking VR machine at that point.
Yeah. Truthfully, he actually was, so he felt like he probably didn't need it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That seems like something that's changed a lot over the course of the last decade. You guys spend a lot of time in the offseason, like, hearing pitches from various computer scientists, don't you?
The number of emails that we receive is astounding. So it all looks great. I mean, there's one out of every 10 startups is going to work. The other nine are going to fail. So sometimes there's something that resonates. It doesn't mean that it's not good. It just means, you know, there's not an application or it doesn't work. So, the technology is it's moving at a high rate of speed. So you want to try to stay ahead. And if there's something that you can incorporate that can help your team, like, those are the things that we want to put resources into.
See, now those companies, if I'm a salesperson with those companies, like, and I'm qualifying the prospect, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the GM that listens to all the financial podcasts and knows the failure rate of all these startups. He's going to be a tough nut to crack, this guy.
I'll tell you, no.
Do your homework.
The problem is, this is the most annoying thing, Sean. It's that, there are a lot of people that can help you do things, like, on a football team. The problem is that, one, there are millions of them, and they all probably have some value to some degree. But then the other annoying thing is that they all want to take 100% credit for it after any kind of success. Yes. It's like, they were bums until we showed up, and then we won that Super Bowl. That's the really annoying thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Everybody thinks they're the reason you win, but then when you lose, it's somebody else's fault.
They just go running the other way. Yeah.
Well, you guys didn't use it properly, obviously.
That's right. Yeah. Application. Nick Caserio joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Hey, Nick, this time a year ago, it's interesting. CJ Stroud was very, very out front, I thought, after his rookie year. You know, played in the Pro Bowl. He was on Radio Row doing a lot of interviews. And I know you're cool with all that stuff with CJ. That's not the gist of my question. This year, he declined the Pro Bowl. He was not on Radio Row. He had talked a lot towards the end of the season about kind of refocusing and things like that. Is this sort of indicative of how he's attacking this offseason, do you think?
I think the hope for any player, or the hope that we have for the players, is once the season is over, then everybody's going to take some time, and then they're going to figure out what's the game plan for the 2025 season, and what do I need to do individually in order to maximize, you know, myself as a player, or whatever the case may be. So every player is a little bit different. So I think CJ's work ethic is unmatched. He cares a lot about football, has a lot of confidence and belief in himself. And there's some things that we've talked to him about that, hey, here's two or three things that, you know, we think you can focus on in the off season. So whenever that clock starts, the clock starts. But we have a number of players that are usually, they start to come in the building in February and train on their own, because we really, the off season doesn't start until April 21st. But by the same token, if you want to be good at your job, you have to invest time and energy into being good at your job. So in the end, it's about the work. So everything starts with the work. So you got to just show up, continue to improve, put one foot in front of the other, try to stack days on top of days. We have a number of players in here. A lot of players are rehabbing and kind of going through the off season, sort of that process. But then we have some other players that are going to be here on their own training. We have every resource that a player needs right here in our building. So our staff, who's with the players on a daily basis, we got more data that we can shake a stick at, so we can monitor everything. So we have everything that we feel that we have everything that the players need here in our building. So we're excited to get started. And whenever they show up, and hopefully they're ready to work with the right mindset, but CJ will be ready to go. I would expect him to have a good off season and get himself ready to go for the 25 season. So we can all go out there and hopefully have a successful season.
Where did you see growth from CJ last year? Because obviously he had a lot of challenges that were making it really, really hard to play good offensive football. But like, where could you separate out some of the variables and see some areas of growth?
Yeah, I would say, look, he definitely matured. And honestly, sometimes your biggest growth comes in times of challenge or adversity. And it wasn't easy. So, I mean, as a team, we started fast. We were 5-1, and we kind of, you know, ebbed and flowed a little bit back and forth throughout the course of the year, played a little bit better at the end of the season, play well in the Charger game. So there's an ebb and flow to the season, and you just have to have a certain level of mental toughness and stick-to-itiveness to keep pressing forward. And I would say in CJ's case, he was able to kind of push through some of those, call it tough times or whatever it was, or tough games. And he went out there and he played really good football in, you know, some of the more critical games. You know, he played well against the Chargers. Honestly, he played well against the Chiefs. Put ourselves in this position. I mean, the reality was, I mean, it was 13-12 in the fourth quarter with however many minutes left. So we put ourselves in a position. So, and I think he learned relative to decision making. Hey, you know what? This decision on this play, maybe the simple play is not the sexy play, but it's the right play. So I think you saw that as the year went on. So he played a lot of good football. I think sometimes everything gets sort of jaded relative to CJ and his performance and how he played. I mean, you can go look at some of the things. I know nobody really gives a crap about stats, but I mean, you look at some of the things that he did. I mean, the guy played really good football. So I think that sometimes it kind of gets lost a little bit. So, but I think his ability to kind of push forward and have mental toughness, mental and physical toughness, that speaks to kind of who he is. And I think this offseason, as he continues to grow, he's going to learn some things. Obviously, they're going to have a new offensive system, so there's going to be a learning element that's involved there. Continue to train, get stronger, improve his lower body strength. And I think he showed he can make plays with his legs. So you just want to try to be a durable player and a durable athlete. So our ask is no different for CJ than it is for any other player. It's come in with the right mindset, train, improve, figure out the areas that you need to improve, and then go out there and try to apply. And in the off season, that's where you can kind of experiment with some things and then put your foundation in place, build on that, build on what you did in the spring in training camp, and then this way you put yourself in a position so September, whatever the date is, whatever week one, you're at your optimum performance. You feel physically and mentally confident to go out there and play really good football, understanding that nobody knows how the season's going to go. There's going to be massive amount of challenges that we face on a week-to-week basis. All we can control is the things that we can control, and is just getting ready for the next opportunity and the next opponent in front of us. So that's a challenge for any player, you know, not just CJ, but for our entire team.
I like that you brought up his lower body strength, because that's, you know, coming off the Super Bowl where I'm watching Jaden Daniels and I'm like, the dude just doesn't get budged. And it's one of the more underrated
Jalen
elements.
Jalen Hurts, I think you mean. You
said, yes, him too.
You said Jaden
yes.
Daniels.
No, definitely Jalen Hurts, yeah, not Jaden, like, wow. Daniels. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, different lower bodies on those
very
two guys.
Very different, yes.
So, no, but as far as Jalen Hurts goes, I mean, he's so strong in his lower body. So are you telling me that CJ is going to be squatting twice his body weight by the time he comes back for 2025?
I don't know if we'll see videos of CJ squatting the weight that Jalen is, but not to go like analytical quarterback guru here, because I'm not, but playing quarterback starts from the ground up. So everything is ground based. So your lower body strength, your core, and everybody jokes about with Brady about his training regimen, but nobody worked more on his core than Tom. I mean, he would be on the sidelines in a plank position with his pads on, and he'd have a coach with boxing gloves punching him on the side, so he had to do a plank where he was engaging his core. I know, you know, you're kind of laughing. You're laughing there a little bit,
Sean.
That's
me laughing. I'm just thinking of the visual is all. Yeah.
That actually happened. But he trained his core. He spent a lot of time on his lower body. And when you're playing quarterback, everything is ground-based. I mean, again, I know it's pitchers and catchers, and we're about to start baseball season, but when you think about a pitcher, everything starts from the ground up. So having a good firm base, I mean, go look at Nolan Ryan, go look at Roger Clemens. Like, I don't know how much they were squatting, but nobody was more sturdy in their lower body than those two guys. I mean, Clemens had a big ass. Nolan Ryan had old man strength, but he could bend. He had lower body flexibility. You know, when he got in his windup, he pushed off the rubber and the ball jumped off of his hand. So yeah, you need arm strength, but you also need torque and lower body strength, which comes from your core, which comes from your leg. So what do you have to do? You have to train those areas. So again, not to go personal trainer on anybody here, but I would say all those elements, and you mentioned Jalen Hurts, Seth, like he's very strong in his lower body. I mean, the guy squats 700 pounds and he's hard to tackle and he's very sturdy and he's very durable, and that helps him. Now, his playing style is different than Jaden Daniels and other quarterbacks. So, but The off season is about strength training and development. It's about individual improvement and development. And that your job as an NFL player, like, what else are you going to do? So, I mean, you're not going to Cabo and hanging out all spring, or at least you shouldn't be. Like, if you want to be a good football player, that's not what you're doing. You're training yourself to get ready to play football. You're showing up to work. Like, that's what the challenge is for our players, and that's what the expectation is. And it's not going to change for as long as we're here running a football team.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
You're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 and Odyssey Station.
Everything that Nick said, the youth of America, I'm speaking to you, young football players.
Listen.
It's all the muscles that you don't see in the mirror.
That's right.
Those are the ones that matter, all right? It's your butt, it's your leg strength, it's your back, all of those. The bench press is the biggest problem facing the youth of America today.
Right, right.
Your bench still helps you very, very little compared to those other ones that that don't give you the beach body.
Yes.
See, I know you want to go to the beach all glossed up and flexed, but that doesn't work in football.
No.
Now, I will say, though, One of the more impressive things I ever saw was when we were in West Virginia and the Texans were having combined practices with the Patriots, was when after practice, Mike Meltzer and I were waiting to interview somebody and we were down at the sideline and Brady was doing like a 15-minute band workout in front of us, like doing all of his drops and everything while a trainer had the bands attached to his waist. And at the end of like a really intense 15-minute workout after a two-hour practice, Tom Brady was not sweating a drop and his hair was glorious and like the sun was shining off of him in such a way that I was like, I get it, Giselle. I get it.
Yeah. You don't play 50 years without working and playing at the level that he did without the intentional work that he put in. So he's a great example and a model for a lot of people on a lot of levels.
I'm just fascinated by the coach who gets to punch him with boxing gloves on. Is that something that guys were climbing over each other to do, or were guys like nervous? I'd be nervous that I would punch him, you know, like I'd punch
if you
him
hit him
hard.
In the wrong spot, then there'd be a broke a rib. Like, I don't think anybody would
don't want
to
be that guy.
What happened?
Honestly, and Nick, you know, you remember this, obviously. But just one of the most impressive things I ever saw was how angry and pissed off Tom Brady was that a 7-on-7 drill didn't go well in the second week of training camp. You know, like it was like he had just lost the Super Bowl or something. He was so angry. I was like, yep, that's a guy who lacks perspective on life, Sean.
Yes.
And that's what
that's
I
what
want out
want.
Of my quarterback, a guy who lacks perspective on life. Yes.
I mean, we're kind of joking around a little bit, but any great competitor, the reason they are elite performers is because of that mindset.
Yes.
I mean, everybody watched The Last Dance with Michael and what he did. There's a reason they won six, however many championships. Kobe wrote the Mamba mentality. I mean, Kobe would play a game and he would, I mean, I was reading a book about a month or so ago. I think Tim Grover, who trained Michael and he trained Kobe, would talk about, like, they would have a schedule. So Kobe would, they would play a game, however, whatever time that was, it'd get done. If a game got done at 12:30, 1 o'clock, well, if the schedule called for him to be in the gym at 4 a.m, Kobe was in the gym at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It wasn't publicized. Nobody was talking about that. But there's a reason why those are the greatest athletes and the greatest players of all time. It's because they went out there and performed. But what not enough people talk about is the work that goes on behind the scenes. So it's everything that's done in the unseen areas. That's what enables you and puts yourself in a position to have success on Sundays. The days of, well, I'm just going to show up on game day and be able to go out there and produce, like, that's a fallacy. Like, that's a myth. That doesn't happen. So you're going to put the work in. You're going to have the right mindset. And if you want to be great, your actions have to reinforce and back those words. And those three players in particular, that's how they approach their job. And it was about competition. Like, competitors win. I mean, Sean, you and I go back and forth about the amount of respect I have for Marcus Freeman, but the comment that he made after it was a Georgia game or whatever it was about Riley Leonard and their team and talking about competitors find a way and competitors win, that's the truth.
Yeah.
Like, that's reality. So we can talk about a bunch of other BS that's out there and Instagram and all this other nonsense. In the end, it's about what goes on behind closed doors in the work. And that's what's going to enable you to have a successful career in whatever line of work that you're in.
True. Yeah, good stuff. Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Last one about the team here, Nick. Now that we're heading into the offseason, Derek Stingley Jr. is eligible for an extension whenever it is coming up, start of the league year, 3 years in here. What can you tell us, I guess, is that on the table for this offseason with Stingley? And we know he had a phenomenal season last year.
Yeah, no, we're always open-minded. You know, we'll have dialogue at any different point, you know, when it's appropriate. I mean, Derek's he's one of the best corners in the league. I don't think this is like some mystery here. So Derek's a good football player. He's improved, I would say, quite a bit from his rookie season to where he is now. So, you know, if we have the opportunity to keep really good football player here for a period of time, you know, it's certainly something that we're going to explore. Those things take time. Nothing comes to fruition all at once. But, you know, Derek's earned the opportunity here. So when those conversations and the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage in that dialogue. I think Derek's made some comments, the fact that he wants to be here for, you know, a long period of time. And, you know, we want Derek to be here. So, but nothing's really linear. These are never linear. It's just A to B. So, but it takes a little bit of work, takes a little discussion, but he's eligible. And, you know, when the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage with his representation, but glad Derek's here. You know, and hopefully we can keep him as a Houston Texan here for, you know, for a long time.
Oh, one of our listeners, Houston Stressens on X, had wanted us to
not familiar with his game. Sorry.
Yeah, it's at Texans commenter.
It's a good follow.
Yeah. When you're there with your little burner account or whatever, you can go check him out. But he actually, he's a very good curator of good content. Yes. So actually, you can see a lot of notable things that your players may have said in interviews or anything, because he goes around kind of scavenging all these things.
Seven things you've said in this interview are going to be up by 10 o'clock today on
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, let me know how that goes. I'll ask Omar how that goes.
Yeah, talk to Omar.
So, he was curious. He asked, what time of the year do you drink the most coffee? And I thought, I don't think Nick probably drinks coffee. So I guess two-part question, do you drink coffee, and at which time of year do you drink?
Yeah, no, I have a very nuanced answer for you. So I didn't drink coffee essentially for my entire life. I wasn't really a coffee drinker. And then I actually had a conversation with our version of Lad Harris in New England. We were talking about coffee and some of the benefits, some of the antioxidants. So I said, okay, that sounds interesting. So I started drinking coffee. So now I kind of have a system. I know this is a shocking development for people, I'm sure, but it's kind of very systematic. So when I wake up in the morning, I kind of have a cup on my way to the office in the car, and then I'll have maybe another one a little bit later in the morning. And then sometimes I'll have one in the afternoon or a little bit later. And I'm one of these psychotic people that could actually drink coffee at night and not have a problem falling asleep. But I would say I'm anywhere from 2 to 3. I really don't stray higher than that. So I try to stay pretty consistent, pretty regimented. I know this is going to blow people's minds as well, but I'm a honey and coffee guy. I know that's like a foreign concept, but I'm not really a sugar, but I like honey. So, but it's a good question. So I didn't drink coffee, but I think, like a lot of different people, we got to have an open mind and sometimes be willing to try something different. And I've been able to incorporate it into my schedule here. So call it 2 to 3 over the course of a day. No more than that.
No Dan Campbell action.
Hopefully that helps Houston Stressens there. No, Dan and I are not on the same program for sure. I'm not on Dan's program.
I'm intrigued, though, that you just went straight to the caffeinated, because if you're doing it for health benefits, you can get a lot of the antioxidants and everything from the decaf. So I like that.
Coffee. Not an iced person. I'm a hot coffee guy. Yeah. So,
right,
no iced.
Decaf. Decaf versus caffeinated. You could have started.
No,
off
I'll go
decaf.
Caffeinated. Yeah, I just go right for the jugular, Seth. Just right, go right to the caffeine. So
that's good.
Not
that's
that
your
I
advice,
need any more energy. Yeah, exactly.
I like it. Well, I knew that it would be one or the other. It'd either be you don't drink coffee at all, or you have a system for drinking the coffee. It was going to be one of those two.
One or the other.
One or the other. Text message I got to read to you, Nick, here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I saw the Pats and the Bills in Buffalo one year. The Pats were up by like 30, and they had to call a timeout because Brady was MFing people up and down, and Belichick refused to let the water boys onto the field because he didn't think the players deserved it. Is that accurate?
That's probably all true, and that's happened multiple times. Yeah, there would be times in training camp where Bill would have some select words to the trainers, basically get the effing water out of there, even though it was 95 degrees. So that happened.
Feels like a union gripe right there.
Well, you know what, man? I don't know about you guys, but just I know it wasn't that uncommon. Nick and I grew up in an era where a lot of football coaches thought that if you drank too much water, you'd cramp. So they'd squirt it in your mouth, and you had to swish it around and spit it out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now we have hydration parties, so we want to make sure that the players are hydrated. So, yes, that's accurate.
Hey, Nick, last thing before we get you out of here, I figure you probably have a take on the I didn't text you about this before or anything, so I'm doing this blindly. I'm guessing you have a take on the Alex Bregman contract, and maybe even, I don't know how much attention you've been paying to the Boston end of things and Rafael Devers. I know you follow all this stuff.
It's interesting. It's fine. I thought we were going to lead the show off with some Houston Astros baseball spring training talk.
We talked about it, actually, believe it or not.
I haven't really studied the nuances. I'm sure there's some back and forth up there. I mean, Bregman's a really good player, did a lot of great things for the Astros organization. I'm sure he'll help the Red Sox. So it doesn't sound like Devers wants to move. So maybe they can find, like, a spot between shortstop and third base to put both of those guys and like have a pre-built-in shift or something like that.
There
so
you go.
but uh But no, I mean, I'm sure Alex will help their team and get a lot of great things for the Astros. I think the Astros are going to be, they're going to have a good year. I mean, as long as Framber's here, like that, or I mean, like, that's all I care about. So
that's your guy?
As long as he's around. So
you're a Framber guy.
He's, I'm sorry.
Oh, Yordan.
Yordan, I'm sorry. Yeah, like, I do like Framber. Framber's got game. Yeah, Framber's got game. I'm a huge, massive Yordan fan. Yeah, when Yordan, like, I'm like, yeah, when I'm flipping through the channels, which isn't often, and he's at the plate, like, I'm going to watch.
Yes, he is a stop and watch guy for sure. Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and GM. Nick, we've kept you long enough. We know you got a combine to get to. We always, always appreciate the insight and the conversations, and we'll catch up with you soon. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the discussion. Thanks, fellas.
All right, thanks. Nick Caserio joining us here. A lot of good stuff. Coming out of that, some good Brady anecdotes came out of that. I did not expect that.
I got excited when he talked about CJ's lower body strength, because he did. CJ was sturdier looking this year, and I thought there were times where he kind of powered through contact in a way that he didn't. And he had talked about it last year, but that's something that can continue to get better as he probably addresses it more and thinks about himself different. Like, that's a transition for some quarterbacks when they get to the NFL is like. You know, CJ spent so many years with so many people telling him with good intent, hey, you're a pocket quarterback. Don't let him try to pigeonhole you into anything else. You got to be a pure pocket passer. And in today's NFL, everything has just changed. It's been flipped on its head to now being a pure pocket passer is actually a negative more so than a positive. And his ability and his willingness to run as the season went along and to realize and kind of make those judgments, okay, when do I need to run? When do I scramble? All of those. That's part of his growth process. And I think he's physically, he looks physically more capable of handling the punishment, and he had to handle a lot of punishment. Hopefully next year he's even that much more sturdy on the lower body, but also doesn't have to take as much punishment.
Yeah, getting some texts rolling in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I love that Nick is not afraid to admit that he listens to the media. That's from Derwin. #sting. Yeah, Nick listens to, I'm not saying listens to everything about the Texans. Like, Nick is very plugged in general with a lot of media about a lot of topics. He's a very informed guy outside of football. I think what Derwin is referring to there is Stingley on the, I think it was on the Pivot podcast where he said, I think that's the only interview I've seen him do this offseason, where he said he wants to be a Texan for his whole career. Yeah. Nick acknowledged that that had gotten back to him. He either seen it or someone told him
I think most GMs get fed, and they get fed curated information by their staff. So, and it's one of those things where you love to talk about how you don't listen to the outside noise, but you live in a reality where, yeah, a lot of the players are going to hear the outside noise, and it's going to affect the way they might perceive things. So you got to try to manage it as much as possible without being overly fixated on it. You got to know, like, okay, this thing's a huge headline, or this thing is viral on social media, and it's something that could be a distraction. So I think that Nick understands that part of it. And he also, because we had a conversation with him last year about shifting with the times and understanding that the world in which these young players live these days is way different than it was 10 or 20 years ago, that you have to account for social media, the media in general, and all of that, that it is going to affect guys' emotions or the way they perceive things.
Yeah. Two coffee texts off of the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line. One, no mayo in your coffee, Nick? Damn, I'm mad that I didn't ask that as a follow-up. Good job, Texter. And someone saying, Nick has just become my new best bud. 2 to 3 cups with honey? Bam. I may give that
honey
a try.
Honey in the coffee was a... Yeah, that isn't that common, I don't think.
No.
Honey in the tea, go for it.
Yeah.
I might have to try. I'm a black coffee guy, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a maniac.
I'm more Spartan than Nick in that regard.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Now that I say that, if he hears me say that I'm more Spartan than him, now he's definitely getting rid of the honey.
Oh, he's switching to black coffee right now as we speak. All right. Payne and Pendergast. All right. A couple things coming out of that conversation that I think are significant, or at least should be revisited. And we will do that coming up next. If you're just jumping in now, you missed about 45 minutes with Nick Caserio, which you can get on the rewind, you can get on the podcast. Good conversation with the Texans GM.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.